Amen. I hope you have resurrection power flowing through you. If you come to Christ, you do. And we just need to remember that, and we need to embrace that and allow the Spirit to work through our lives in power and in His graciousness. Well, just going to pause for a brief moment, and I just wanted people online today, those in their church family, to realize and recognize that Deb Disler, her husband Glenn, is in the house, and they are halfway through her treatments, and she has to head down for her fourth one this week, but God is continuing to be faithful, and here she is, and that's a good sign for all of us in the midst of all of our circumstances in life. Let's keep praising God, stepping out in faith, and allow Him to rule and reign in our lives, regardless of what's going on. God, you're good. Yeah, God, just thank you for your words of song, the praise that we can offer to you, God, and thank you for your word. And I pray that your word would refresh us today, renew our passion, and just invigorate us, God. So thank you so much in your wonderful name. Amen. Well, next week for the summer, I'm going to start a series of sermons on stories from Sunday school. So if you grew up in Sunday school, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll know the stories. And if you didn't grow up in Sunday school, you probably know the stories, but you're going to discover them. But going to have a little fun with that. And our kids ministry will be beginning next week, and they will follow the same type of themes in their class. So it's going to be good, and look forward to Tuesday. This Tuesday evening, I'll send out an update. And praise God, the stages will advance in British Columbia, and we'll be able to sing and shout and do all the things that we want to do as we gather together in church. We've been talking about in the Holy Spirit, and I'm wrapping that up today, but we've talked about the Holy Spirit as God. We've talked about interaction with Him, that it's inquired of us. We talked about, Pastor Tiffany talked about the fruit of the Spirit and keeping in step or walking with the Spirit. We talked about last week spiritual gifts, all these things that God has given us as the church so that we can be powerfully used by Him for His kingdom, His glory. And today I just want to reflect a little bit on being filled with the Spirit or the power of the Holy Spirit. And as I stated on these, we're just giving you a brief taste in these sermons. And in July, not the first Tuesday of the 6th, but on the 13th, the 20th, and the 27th, we are going to have barbecues and conversations regarding the Holy Spirit and take it a little deeper. So it's just a way, again, of us getting together, encouraging and in our faith. And you can get more information through the church or the website. And what's going to happen is that you choose a daytime one or you can choose an evening one. So it's 3:12 noon ones where you come to our house for a free lunch and conversations, about an hour and a half. And then you can choose the 6 o'clock ones where you come for a barbecue, same location, and we talk again in a further discussion about the Holy Spirit. That's coming up in July. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 is a prophecy that is repeated in Acts chapter 2 in verse 17 when Peter is doing his sermon after the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit is poured out. But Joel 2:28 says, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my Spirit on all mankind." So we know that that includes, I think all means you. And I think all means me, that God promised that in latter days, which we are living in, that God would pour out His Spirit on us, and we would be people that are filled with the Spirit. In John 7, Jesus declares this in 37 to 39. He says, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, 'If anyone's thirsty,'" I am. Okay. "If anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. What that really means is that the Holy Spirit was still going to be poured out just after, when Jesus would be ascended to heaven. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read that Jesus told the disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." So Jesus is saying that you're going to be filled with the Spirit, and that Spirit is going to be full of power. And we sang the truth of Scripture this morning when we declared that there's resurrection power in our lives, because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, literally from the dead, and his body was raised and he walked on this earth again, that same power is at work in your life through the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? I don't remember the health order saying we couldn't amen. Power, dunamis in the Greek, miraculous power of might and strength. But you know what the disciples would have understood when Jesus was talking to them? When he was talking about power, about dunamis, power? They would understand it in the context that it would include the power to preach the gospel effectively. To preach the gospel effectively, and the power through the Holy Spirit to work miracles confirming the message. This was their reality. This is what they would have understood, because they'd seen that same work in Jesus, that Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God, and he followed that with signs and wonders, and miraculous power flowed through his life to the life of people. That's what they would have understood. And I think in the context of our world today, we need to recognize that we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's not just for us. It's so that God will work through us, declaring the kingdom of God, showing his love to the world, and that miraculous power would avail so that signs and wonders will follow your life and my life as the gospel is presented. And can I just be a little honest today, and I'm speaking to myself too, that I think we have forgotten that God's power is available for us daily, and that it's not just for us, that we are to use the power of God and let it flow through us so that the kingdom of God will be declared and that miracles will happen, because God wants to touch a world who desperately needs him. We're also called in this power, he says, to be witnesses. That's what it's for. That we would be light and we would be salt to this world. That they would see and look at our lives and see a difference, because we won't always do it the way the world does it, because we will do it the way that God does it by his Spirit in our lives. And we will be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus and his kingdom. John 14:12 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." You see, we are called to extend the ministry of Jesus in this world today. We are called to continue the work of God. And because we have the gospel message that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and he rose from the grave on the third day and ascended to the Father and prepares a place for us so that we can have eternal life and live for eternity. That is the message that we carry in our lives. And it's greater works, Jesus said, would be accomplished through us because we have the gospel of Jesus when he walked on the earth. In Acts 2, 1-4, when Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of the Holy Spirit on that day, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. What's clear from this happening and this event in history is that Jesus' promise is fulfilled, and that he said they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit if they waited on him. And maybe that's one of the things we've lost in this fast-paced, instant everything world we live in, that we have lost the art of waiting on God and being still before Him, to go quietly before Him and seek Him and allow Him to fill us with His Holy Spirit. I encourage you in the days ahead to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. He said they would be baptized, and they were. And that word baptized is a word that means to dip, immerse, or submerge. It's the same word in the New Testament that refers to us being put in the baptism of water, where we are completely immersed into water. And in the context of the Spirit, it's the presence of God so filling a person that they're filled up with the presence of God. There's rivers of living water. It's like a fountain that starts deep within your being and just begins to come out forth in praise and in honor and glory to God. Now, there's two common thoughts of when we are baptized in the Spirit. Number one is that we're baptized in the Spirit when we become Christians and then seek to be filled continually. The other, which is where the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada land, is that we are sealed with the Spirit at salvation, but we are baptized with the Spirit in a second act of the Spirit where we have to wait and seek God to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and become witnesses. But then, too, we are called to continually be filled with the Spirit. And that's really what I want to really emphasize this morning, is that you and I are called continually to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but to be filled with the Spirit." Now, in the old Mediterranean days, wine was fermented in order to preserve it from turning into vinegar. And what Paul is doing here, he's expressing a negative exhortation. You know, what you're supposed to stop doing is becoming drunk with wine. And along with a positive command, what the saints are start doing, and that's to be continually filled with the Spirit. You see, the Greek word translated "be filled" literally means be being filled with the Spirit. Now, when you get drunk with wine, some of you from family times growing up with me, it wasn't necessarily wine, but it was alcohol. And a lot of weird things happen when a person gets overcome with alcohol, as I'm sure you guessed. Now, I don't want to taint anybody's image of me, but I did for a short period of time in my youthful days decide to maybe drink a little bit too much one time. I was out at a cabin with some family, you know, in the prairies. I couldn't handle alcohol, as it turned out, very well. And I got completely wasted, as they say in terminology. What happens when they had me laughing so hard, you know, I wet my pants. I did a few other things. My whole character and personality and behavior changed. That's what happens when you become drunk, where your senses are gone, your ability to rationalize or to have good judgment or a sense of propriety. It all leads downhill the more you drink. But to be filled with the Spirit in the same sense is when you become filled with the Spirit, it leads to self-control. It leads to the fruit of the Spirit that Pastor Tiffany spoke about a couple weeks ago. It leads to righteousness. It leads to being used by the kingdom of God for His glory. It leads to great things for the kingdom of God. When we become filled with the Spirit, it's the complete opposite of being drunk. I didn't hear any amens during the drunk part, but I'm sure there's probably a few out there. Our home was terrible when family parties started, so I get a good taste of what Paul's talking about here when he talks about this. And I've seen the transformation that happened when my mom was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I know the difference between the two extremely well. The command in Greek is a present imperative, doesn't describe a one-time filling, but a regular pattern of life, an ongoing, repeatable experience of God's Spirit granting us a fullness of God's presence. But the onus is on us. We've got to posture ourselves. We've got to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. We've got to be in conversation. We have to be in waiting. We have to continually recognize and seek Him and ask Him to fill us and to be replenished and refreshed always in a regular basis. I heard it on the news yesterday that BC Hydro came out with a comment about the use of power during these days right now in our world and in British Columbia in particular. And we have literally set the record already before the 40-degree weather this next couple of days. We've already set the record for hydro output for our province. We've gone over already. You see, when I thought about that for a second, I realized that sometimes, you know, we need God's Spirit and we run off lack of power too often in our spiritual experience. Can you imagine for a second what life would be if all the power went out in Prince George and the area? And all of a sudden, what do you lose? You know, what do you lose? You know, you lose the ability all of a sudden, the lights, if it's dark, you can't see. You know, you can't use your hair dryer. You know, you can't use your appliances. You know, you can't use a lot of things. Traffic lights go out. It just becomes a very inconvenient experience because we're so used to power. And too often as believers, we run on that same principle when our power is going out and diminishing and lessening and we're getting tired and weary. We forget that we need to replenish the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we take it for granted it's going to happen when God wants us to ask Him. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open. There's a principle there that God wants to teach us how to rely upon Him and His Spirit and not do it in our own strength. Because too often, that's what it becomes. We try to conquer sin. We try to conquer our lives and stuff just based on our own strength. And we can't do it. You know, electricity is not seen, but it's felt. If you ever go underneath power lines, you know, you can hear that vibration and that noise as it passes a current. And you know, the Spirit is not seen, but the Spirit is experienced in our lives, and we can feel the presence of God filling us, and we can experience His current, His power working through us on a daily basis. We've got to abide and seek God. We've got to wait and trust Him to fill us. We've got to be baptized initially. We need to continue to be filled and replenished continually, because God doesn't want us to be powerless. But He wants in your life the power, His power at work, so that you are a person who is full of life and you have the joy of the Holy Spirit in your life, an abundant life, and God is using you in His ways to touch people. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power." Power! It's the same word in the Greek, dunamis power. Power and love and discipline. Don't fear what God will do when He fills you with His Spirit. Know that you can trust Him. So avail yourself. Wait on Him. Ask God to fill you. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Be renewed in the Holy Spirit. Don't fear it, because God's power and His love and His discipline is for your life so that you can live a powerful Christian life. I've got resurrection power living on the inside, and it shows on the outside. I got more to say about that. If you want to come to one of the barbecues in July, I'll continue this thread of thought. But folks, we need to be filled with the Spirit, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Not for ourselves, it's so that God can do a great work of being we can be a witness and we can proclaim the gospel. People need to know Jesus. They need to know His love. They need to know that He cares for them, that He can wipe their sin away and give them eternal life in relationship with the Father. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You are such a good God, and that when we strayed from you, when we fell into sin and were separated in relationship from a holy and pure God, where sin couldn't dwell, your plan was to send Jesus, and Jesus, you were to die on a cross, be buried and raised from the dead, and ascend to the Father, and there you are cheering us on and calling us to turn to you. But you didn't leave us defenseless or helpless. You gave us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is available to us to be filled and completely working with God in our lives day after day after day. We are not alone. We have all the power of His presence operating and working in our lives. And help us, God, because too often we do life on our own strength. And too often we're just satisfied with so little. But God, would you turn the electricity on in our lives again? For those that have never been baptized or filled with the Spirit initially, I pray in Jesus' name over these next little few days, even right now, God, in this room or in the screen where they are watching, that you would fill them right now in Jesus' name. And God, for those of us that have, and we might even be in this season, especially in this last season of COVID, God, we might be dry and we might be needing replenishing of the Spirit, being filled again with the Holy Spirit. And I invite you, Spirit, to do that work in us. Teach us to wait. Teach us to ask. Teach us to know that we can be filled with your presence, that rivers of living water will flow. God, that a fountain would gush out of us as your Spirit fills us. We need you. And God, I trust you've been honored with these messages on the Spirit, and I pray that in the days ahead, God, it's going to get dimmer and darker. It's going to get harder to be a Christian. But we have God Almighty residing in us. Help us not to lose sight of that power. Oh, Jesus, praise your name. Praise your name. Just want to invite you in the building or at home, just as we take a few moments to just wait a bit, would you as an individual, would you just, again, just invite the Holy Spirit to have a conversation with you, to wait on His presence, and just invite Him to fill you. And just be sensitive to Him today. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. Be renewed. Be replenished. Be refreshed in the Spirit this morning. Be honored and blessed by the Lord. Oh, Spirit, we wait on you.
I just think about the words to that song and even what Pastor Rich was speaking, but if we could just grasp this concept that we're never alone, like so deep, like God has promised never to leave us or forsake us. Jesus told us that He's with us to the end of the age, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And we can posture ourselves to be filled and live in a place of overflowing. And if we really grasp that, if we really live that out, if we, man, whew, that would, yeah, that's a game changer for you individually, for us corporately as a body, and living that out into our communities. So I challenge you to just spend some time in solitude with God and just be filled this week outside of this hour that we've gathered. So let's pray. God, we thank you that you'll meet us where we're at. God, that when we go to spend time with you this week in your word, in prayer, in silence, in solitude, that you will speak to us, that you'll fill us, that you'll listen to our hearts' cries, that you'll comfort us, and that you'll strengthen us. So we just fall on your promises today, and we look forward to what you have for us individually, for us corporately as a church, and for our community in the days ahead. We thank you for that, Jesus. Amen. Amen.